Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Show's flying along. Earlier this morning, I was in the gym. Yeah, I was in the gym. I'm not just saying that. I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, I was in the gym. Look at me. But I was in the gym, and I was thinking about Aaron Fentress. I was like, you know what? We need to have Fentress on today. Haven't had him on in a while to talk about the Blazers. I was tuned into the game last night. Blazers leading the Miami Heat in the third quarter, and I went, okay, when do the wheels come off? And certainly they did in the fourth quarter. Here to talk about it, Aaron Fentress. You know, this team, I mean, at least they're playing hard and they've got some good young players who are excited to see.
Absolutely. I mean, look, man, listen, I've been an Anthony Simons guy since they drafted him. So this is like Christmas for me. I'm having so much fun watching these games, even though they're not having a great season, because we're seeing him blossom right before our eyes and fulfilling all this promise and taking such a huge step as a player. So that's fun. I would imagine for Blazers fans that, you know, that adds something nice to a down season. And then, of course, Nasir Little as well. And then you get to see some of the, you know, even the younger guys like C.J. Ellaby and Watford and who else am I missing? No, I think that's it, actually. Getting extra player playing time. Oh, well, no, Brown's been out for a while, but getting playing time and able to actually, you know, contribute to some victories. They're 5-4, I think, since the calendar turned. So, if you're a fan and it's a down year and you're bummed out, at least you're watching some exciting young players and potential trade chips as well.
You mentioned trade. You got February 10th as the NBA trade deadline. Is this team a buyer? Is this team a seller? Will there be buzz leading into it? Do you expect there to be a deal? All of that.
Man, things have just been changing. Okay, so first of all, I absolutely believe that Cronin, the interim GM, and Billups have been planning to make moves. They said so as much. You know, this isn't secret inside intel or anything like this. They've said, yeah, they plan to be active. They want to do things to improve the roster. I think they, in unison, viewed the roster a little bit differently than Olshay, and then things have fallen apart. I don't think things have fallen apart because it was a bad roster. It was not a championship roster, but it wasn't a bad roster. But when Dame has a bad start to the season and then his abdomen acts up and then CJ goes out for 6 weeks with a collapsed lung, well, now you have a bad situation. And then, of course, COVID just whacked them. So the fact that the season was falling apart lent itself to the idea of, okay, well, maybe now's a great time to let it completely disintegrate, because then what do you get? You get a top five pick. And to me, the value of the top five pick, if they got that, would just be immense. One, you could draft an impact player right away. Or two, you can trade that pick to a team looking to rebuild who might want to dump a star like a Sabonis or something like that. That all said, absolutely, they're going to be moving. I think they're trying really hard to revamp this roster on the fly. I do not believe, and call me crazy, but I do not believe they necessarily want to rush Damian back. If they're out of it, why would you keep losing?
Yeah.
So then the question is, Fentress, are you advocating tanking? Yes, Fentress is advocating tanking. Absolutely. In the right way, though. Like, you're not going to tell players to lose, obviously, but you can do things with your roster to assure that you get yourself a high pick, because that could change the franchise along with some well-timed and executed trades.
Tell me about those things you do with the roster. If we're orchestrating a tank job, we tell Damian Lillard, take your time. I mean, that's going to be top of mind, right? Take your time. There's no point in rushing back. Get you back for next season. That's what's important, Dame. What else are you doing?
So, you know, for me, everything always comes back to Chicago. So let me tell you a quick Chicago story. So several years ago when they had Mirotić, the 2017-18 season, Mirotić got healthy and then just went nuts. And they won, like, I can't remember what it was, but they were winning like they were going to be a contender. It was crazy. And the whole time I was screaming, no, what are you doing? Well, sure enough, they were trying to showcase Mirotić to trade him. They traded him to the Pelicans, who ended up sweeping the Blazers that year. And then, but those wins with Vircic, what it did is that even though they stunk the last part of the season, those wins pushed them to seventh. Well, at seventh, they took Wendell Carter. Well, guess who went fifth? Trae Young. Guess who went third? Luka Doncic. If Mirotic hadn't done what he did in the early part of the season, they literally could have Luka Doncic right now. So as a Bulls fan, I'm pissed that they won those meaningless games. So the things you can do is you don't let guys who are going to win games for you win games for you. You move them. Like, I would have traded Mirotic for a bag of potato chips to prevent winning those games that he won just so I could get a second-round pick. Woo-hoo, right? So, you know, there's expiring contracts on this team in Covington and Nurkic. There's other pieces on this team that you could move that with them gone and you don't bring Dame back, you're pretty much guaranteed mathematically to just lose a bunch of games just on analytics. I think that's going to happen anyway. I think they've been hot for a while, but I think there's a shelf life to that because they're going to play better teams coming up. Yeah, you can beat Orlando. You can beat Washington with no Beal. The Brooklyn game was nice, but that's not going to last. So I do think this move they can make to get themselves in a position where they get into the top five. And here's another thing. I challenge everyone to go back and look at the history of the NBA. I've done this. The vast majority of NBA champions over the last 30 years had multiple top 10 picks, whether they picked them or not or traded for them or whatever. They were top 10 picks, and many of them had multiple top five picks. Like, look at the Magic, Kareem, Worthy. Those are all three number ones. Look at the LeBron, Wade, Bosh. Those are three top six picks from the same draft. Like, if you go through history, that's just what you do. Even the recent Lakers, what did they do? They got a second pick in Ball. They got a third pick in Ingram. Then they packaged them with Hart to trade for a former number one pick in Davis, paired him with the number one pick, and boom, they won a championship. But it all came from what? Having those top five picks. So if I'm Portland, that has got to be one of the goals.
Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian joining us. My wife said it this morning. She said, are they going to trade C.J. McCollum? He just had a baby. They shouldn't trade him. is C.J. trade bait at this point? When's the right time for the Blazers to move him if they're going to move him?
So here's the thing. I think everyone likes CJ. I like dealing with him. He's always been a great guy, character guy, carries himself amazingly. But the problem is this team just has had and still has more now than ever a redundancy issue at small guard. Their best four players are arguably four guards who will stand 6'2 to 6'3. That's Dame, CJ, Powell, and Ant now. Now, we could argue Nurkic, and that, you know, would anyone, like, you know, would anyone take Nurkic over any of those four? I would say no. So your top four guys are small guards in a league that lends itself to height and length, right? So you cannot possibly, under any, in any way, shape, or form, feel like that is a recipe for success, because You should even be starting two, but now you're starting three because of how your roster is configured, and now Ant is pushing. So you have to move one, if not two, of those guys. So it's not even just about CJ. It's just about you have to break that up, because could you imagine if you had the exact same talent level of those four guys, but one was 6'5", one was 6'7", and one was 6'8"? Now legitimately, you are a Western Conference title contender. I believe that. Because the talent lives there, they're just all too small collectively, and that length hurts you on defense, hurts you on offense. It costs you, you know, little twists of fate here and there during the course of a game, a course of a series. So yes, I mean, CJ or someone, they've got to break that four up, because it's just not going to ever contend ever as your best four players ever.
On that list of four, if I'm another NBA team, of course I'm interested in Damian Lillard. I'm really interested in Anthony Simons, because there's great value there with the contract that he'd be on. So CJ, though, I give a little pause, because I just don't see him as a $30 million guy. Am I alone in that?
I mean, that's an issue, I think, definitely. You have to find the right match where you're getting back cap relief as well. You know, again, going back to the Bulls, people made fun of the DeRozan trade because they thought he was making too much money. Well, they ignored the fact that they gave up a player who was making 18 and another player who was making 25 or 5. So your first year with DeRozan, the salaries matched up, so it didn't really matter. Same thing with CJ. If you can find the right team that's willing to give up the right type of player, or maybe has to give up the right type of player in Ben Simmons in Philadelphia because he refuses to play for you, then it becomes, yeah, maybe we're overpaying CJ, but we're getting better because of how all the contracts sort of match up and mix in terms of in the trade. Now, as far as Ann goes, Ann's going to be a restricted free agent. Ant's about to get paid. If he keeps playing like this, someone's going to come at him with $100 million. So his pay is about to go up considerably. But I think of the four, for me, I think Ant has the most valuable to a rebuilding team. Like, if Indiana's serious about trading Sabonis, why would you not come to Portland and be like, yo, give us Nurkic and Ant, done. Because Nurkic is going to expire. You can decide what you want to do if you're Indiana, and you get yourself a legitimate point guard of the future, and you got it for a guy that you're trying to move in Sabonis. If you're Indiana, though, and you're rebuilding, you don't want CJ. But if you're Philly and your second-best player is sitting out and you need a guy on your team who can get their own shot to complement Embiid, then to me, CJ makes sense, but they just might want something more with it. It might be Nasir. It might be Covington as well, et cetera, et cetera. But I think they're all movable in different ways. It depends on the team and what they have to give up.
Damian Lillard is on a contract now that, you know, you could argue when it ends, you know, should the Blazers re-up with him? Should they extend him? Should they trade him? How does his injury play into that equation in your mind?
Well, I think if going under the knife is really going to fix it and cure it, and so it's not going to be a recurring thing, then I think that helps the idea of whether or not they're going to extend him. For me, you know, 2 years at 50-plus million for a 34, 35-year-old guard, you want to make sure he's healthy, and you want to make sure it makes sense, I think, for both parties. Like, it could very easily be a situation where you extend him, but still there might be a trade that happens that he wants, that Portland wants. My take has always been, no matter what's been said, even before all the stuff happened in the summer, my feeling was if they build a contender around him, like if they take, like if somehow, let's say magically they move CJ and something for Ben Simmons and then slip that pick, a high pick, into Sabonis. You go into next season with Dame, Simmons, Sabonis, and Powell, and then whatever you backfill, and with Ant coming off the bench or whatever, you're a legit contender, I would say. So if you can get to that point, then keep Dame as long as you can contend. If you get to the point where it's like there's no way we're going to contend at all, you might re-sign him with the idea of trading him for his benefit so then he could go somewhere and win. So I think the whole re-signing him thing is going to depend on sort of where the franchise is and where he is health-wise and then what their plan would be in terms of either trying to contend with him or having to move him.
Has he said, as you know, yesterday the report came out, and one of the national writers said, look, I'm just surprised he hasn't asked out yet. It doesn't strike me as his style anyway. I think he's too strategic. If he wanted out, I think it would be more of a whisper to the GM and not like a public declaration,
correct,
trade me, because we all know how that goes. It affects your value.
Yeah, I don't think Damian Lillard in any way, shape, or form wants to be that guy who's publicly demanding a trade and making noise. Like, there was a report last year that he would definitely give up money to make a trade, which meant sitting out, like sort of like Ben Simmons is doing. And I saw that, and I was like, there's no way in hell. And then CJ went on Twitter and was like, yeah, now they say you're giving up your money. Dame laughed at it. So I don't think that would ever happen. I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think it would be a whisper, but I think it would be a mutual whisper. Like, I think it would be like, this is best for both sides type situation. Now, that being said, I've asked sources on the team, because Dame's been saying repeatedly, I'm committed. So I went, I had a candid conversation, you know, when I said, listen, he's saying this, he's been saying it, but he did hint in the summer that he was a little bit on the fence about what he might do. So I just asked someone, do you believe he's 100% in and this isn't just, you know, a public statement? And this person said, absolutely. And that everything they're doing franchise-wise is around the idea that he's going to be in it to win it with Portland. But the key thing is to win it. I don't believe – he hasn't said this. I haven't talked to him about it. I just don't believe that if you told Damian Lillard right now, look, dude, you have zero chance of winning a championship in Portland. It's not going to happen. I looked at my crystal ball. There's no way. There's nothing you can do about it. Do you want to stay here for your career or go try to win a title? I think he would pick go try to win a title, not forcing him his way out, kicking and screaming. But I think at the end of the day, he'd rather win a title than never have a chance at one, right? But I think ultimately he does want to win one here. And I think his second choice would be, we have a chance, but we fail. as opposed to going somewhere to chase one. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you told him, we have a chance, we got a 3-year run, here's the roster, what do you think? He's like, yeah, I think we can win it. And then you don't, I think he's cool with that. I think he said that. But if you say, we have no chance at all, what do you want to do? He's going to be like, yo, man, I want to win a title. Let's work something out. That's just my feeling on the situation.
The Oregonian's Aaron Fentress is our guest. Chauncey Billups, I want to know how he's doing. I also want to, you know, I saw earlier in the season, Rodney Billups, his brother, was named an assistant, brought his younger brother in. And I saw that as a move by the franchise to make Chauncey a little more comfortable, get him someone he's familiar with and could trust on his staff. How is he doing, and what did you make of that move when you saw Rodney Billups added to the staff?
Well, first thing I thought was from a, you know, because people are, I mean, there's some wondering out there, okay, what happens? You have a new GM, even if Cronin's named GM or if they hire a new GM, what does that usually mean for the coach? Because usually a GM wants to hire the coach. But I think the fact that, A, they hired an assistant GM speaks well for Cronin's future, and I think the fact that they allowed Billups to hire his brother as a coach speaks well for his future. I just believe that they are all in lockstep. Like, I don't think there's any danger of Billups being fired. I also think that any new GM who tried to move on Billups like that would have to deal with Dame, because I think Billups is Dame's guy. Like, Billups is one of the two people Dame named as who he'd like to see get the job. He got the job. So I think everything there is copacetic and moving in lockstep between Dame, Billups, and Cronin. As far as what this means in terms of him, like I just said, I think that this shows that he's secure in his situation. He's bringing someone in who has basketball knowledge, has basketball chops. It's not like he brought me in and I play 2K, right? He brought in someone who actually is coach. So there's value there. As far as how he's doing, I just think it's hard to say. I've seen some people, say that they think he's doing a bad job. And I'm just like, how can you tell? Like, and they're like, well, with what he has, he's still doing a bad job. I'm like, really? Like, the lineup has been so decimated, and your best two players, well, one's going to be out for 6 weeks at least, and the other one missed a month and a half. Like, it's just so hard to gain wins and losses that way. But here's what I'll say. He himself admits when he screws things up or when he thinks he should have done better. He says repeatedly, I need to do better at this. I need to do better at that. And he said last summer, he said, look, I'll be a first-year head coach, a second-year coach. There's a lot I have to learn. I know right now that there's a lot of stuff I don't even know that I don't know. So he went into this knowing there were going to be growing pains, which was one of the reasons why he brought in Brooks, because Brooks has been a longtime winning head coach who went to the finals. He brought in Brooks to help him with that learning curve. So to say he's doing great, I can't say that. To say he's doing poorly, I can't do that either. I think what matters most is how he and Cronin reshape this roster around Lillard.
Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. Glad we had you on, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, bro. And listen, just because you were in the gym doesn't mean you get anything in the gym. You could have been pushed up to the juice bar. All right, we all know how that works. With a dumbbell in one hand and a slurpee in it, or a slushy in another.
I love it. Fentress, you're the best. Thank you, man. There he is. Covers the Blazers. Good stuff from Aaron Fentress. I've got some thoughts on that. Look, I think it's a weird time, and I think the injuries to Lillard and the scare with C.J. McCollum, it's thrown a wrinkle into the Blazers' plan. I mean, I don't know if you do anything with those two big pieces, but there are moves to be made. They should be active at the deadline. I just don't know if they will be. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a lot about the Pac-12 big anniversary today. You guys know what the anniversary is for the Pac-12 conference?
I do not.
Let me guess. George Kliavkov's hiring.
Kind of. Larry Scott's firing a year ago today. Larry Scott was announced that he was not going to be retained. It was a big enthusiastic, hurrah that was here, that was heard. Is it a hurrah? That was heard over the footprint of the Pac-12 conference. But I want to look a year later at sort of the wins and losses by the conference and George Kliavkov. Larry in Beaverton's called in. He wants to talk a little bit about journalism. What's up, Larry?
Oh, 1971-72, I was the sports editor at Oregon State.
Nice.
And Kerry Eggers' father, John Eggers, was the sports information director.
Yes.
And in the spring, a few times, he asked me to either go with the baseball team to Southern Oregon to when they played and call UPI and AP after the game with a box score, or to be the official scorer at Coleman Field when it was called Coleman Field.
Yeah.
With about 200 people and, you know, way back when. And in the press box, there was a few people, and I had the button, green light for a hit, red light for an error. And at least one time in my two or three times doing that, I was talking to someone or looking elsewhere, ground ball to short, man on first. Oops, how did he get there? And I looked down over the edge, and there was some Corvallis residents that were always there, and I kind of looked at them, and I went thumbs up, thumbs down, and they gave me the call. So then I pushed the button. So I did not see the play, and I had to defer to them.
But you pushed the button.
I pushed the button for a hit or an error, whichever they told me. Whichever they told me, because I did not see the play. Well, not a good official scorer that day.
Yeah, but you know what? You've come on this show, and you've confessed it, and now you can sleep easy.
Always.
Yeah, I love that. All right, there it is, Larry in Beaverton. Hey, whatever you need, if you're out there and you're listening, you need to call in. You need to tell us about something that's been keeping you up. I had a friend a long time ago. He's covering the Raiders. I told the story of his parked car that was reported stolen.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.